نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us towards the end of course different advice regarding believing men, regarding believing women. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالُ صَدَقُمَّا عَهْدُ اللَّهِ. Amongst the mu'mineen, there are those men that are true to the pledge and the vow that they have made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever that pledge and vow is, to represent Islam, to do good things, to stay away from wrong. And of them are those that fulfill this pledge. And in fulfilling the pledges with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it may happen that they suffer a lot. They may even die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And then amongst them there are those that are aware of the consequences that are very severe, but they still continue to make rightful choices. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding them says, they have not changed the least. These are people that are true. They don't waver. One day they believe, one day they don't believe. When there is benefit, they will follow. When there is no benefit, then they go on the other side. This is not a characteristic of the mu'min. That's why it says, minal mu'mineen rijal. There's a reason why Allah used the word mu'mineen, and there's a reason why Allah used the word rijal. That means true men, meaning true individuals. Once they make a pledge, whatever that pledge is, as long as it's halal, as long as it is good, then they will do whatever they need to do to follow that pledge, and also they would encourage others to fulfill the various pledges. As opposed to the munafiqs, on the other hand, they make a pledge, they try to impress, and then when things change, they go the other way. Also regarding Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ. And what type? Uswatun hasana. Regarding Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah says, لَقَدْ, surely, definitely. Definitely what? And that لَقَدْ is for ta'akid. لَقَدْ surely كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. In surely, and there is definitely an excellent example in as far as Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is concerned. For example, in the manner in which he defended the Muslims, in the manner in which in certain battles, for example, you go right up to now in Topkapi Palace Museum, his Mubarak Tooth is over there. So as you can see, he's one of the only leaders we can say in pretty much what we can view as somewhat modern history, where he didn't just say to the other ones, you go and fight, I'll stay in the back. He was in the front line and he did what is necessary. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding him, in him there is a beautiful uswatun hasana, an excellent example in as far as his lifestyle is concerned, his social life is concerned, his economic life is concerned, his political life is concerned, his interactions with people are concerned, be they rich or be they poor. And for who it is a good example? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. This example of his is not for everyone. Because if it was for everyone, then they all will convert to Islam. So therefore, it is not for everyone. It is for the mu'mineen. And it's for the individual that wishes to make better of their life and the life of the family. That's why it says, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. For the one that understands the return of Allah, for the one that understands and has fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also believes in the last day. And also, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And for that individual that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. So, if you don't fear Allah in the way you should fear Him, you don't believe in the last day in the way you should believe in the last day, and you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enormously as you go about your day, then understand one thing: you will never ever find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a beautiful example. You will see this in your financial dealings, you will see this in your home dealings, you will see this in your political dealings, you will see it everywhere. Yes, you may read the ayah and say to everyone, he's the best of example. You must just go a little bit further and say, and what about لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. What about these three aspects? And once those three aspects go down, then your claim of saying that he's a good example is no different from the professors in the various universities that write beautiful ayah or beautiful statements regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they never convert to Islam. So this is something we have to be very alert of when we are looking
at these various ayah. Now regarding the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك إلى إن كنتن تردن الحياة الدنيا إلى آخر الآية. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes very powerful mention of the wives. He says, as far as they are concerned, that say to your wives, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you desire the life of this world and the zina, the beautifications and the adornments of this world, why is Allah giving them this advice? Because Allah has put certain fitrah, certain qualities in certain people. Women have certain qualities. I mean, you look at young girls from the young age, they're playing with makeup. Even though they're making a mess of the nails, somehow they still think it is beautiful. Allah gave them this fitrah. They like to look pretty. They like to do themselves up. They like to do their hair up. This is the nature Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Having that nature in them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam advice. And our women folk are supposed to model their behavior after the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah is giving advice to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for him to give to his wives, and thereafter for us to accept that for our wives and family, where he says the following: say to your wives, as far as you all are concerned, you are the wives of the Prophet, and if you all desire this world, you all desire the adornments of this world. And the adornments are many. They can be jewelry, they can be clothing, they can be all these facial things they do with their eyebrows, and Lord knows what they do. Having this, what does one girl ask the question? What did she ask? Can I put a permanent makeup on? Permanent makeup is they tattoo your makeup on, so you have rosy cheeks. Even you get up 1 o'clock in the morning to your husband, you have rosy cheeks. You look nice all the time. So it's permanent makeup. So it never ever removes itself. I mean, what type of person considers doing things like, imagine you pass away in that state. I mean, how can they even, imagine saying to Allah, first of all, the hadith says, as far as tattooing is concerned, the one that tattoos gets a sin. The one that is tattooed is getting a sin. Tattooing is one of the biggest sins in Islam. Now you can call it makeup, call it fake up, call it whatever you want. Tattooing is tattooing, however you view it. Now, so this is also under the category of weird adornments, as I would call it. So Rasulullah is saying to his wives, if you desire this world and its adornments, then that choice that you are making is not going to be very beneficial for you. And if that is what you want, then it is best, of course, in the end, as we gather from other ayah, that you go your way and he goes his way. Also at the same time, understand full well that if you desire the adornment of this world, it must not happen that you get punished in this world as well as in the hereafter. So we learn from this given ayah that everyone has a certain type of fitrah. However, to change that fitrah, that nature, whether it's running after permanent makeup or running to look beautiful or doing anything that is inappropriate, find a model in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ, in the model of the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ, and begin to change your life accordingly. And inshallah, if you did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you benefit, not only in this world, but also inshallah, in the hereafter to come as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in making good decisions. And before we say, may Allah help us in making good decisions, the first ayah that was read today, the first ayah, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Men, it's not your wife's fault or your daughter's fault that they do wrong things. It is your fault that you chose to marry the wrong woman. It is by marrying the wrong woman, she doesn't perform her salah. By her not performing her salah, your daughters, your nieces, etc. are seeing salah not performed in the home. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. And when it happens that they don't perform salah, then don't say, why are my children going towards wrongful deeds? They are only going towards it according to this ayah, because the root, which is you, married a person for wrongful reasons, and the result of that is a wrongful outcome. Therefore, it is not too late, it is never too late, to go home especially in the month of Ramadan, and get everything lined up straightly. Get family back on Salah. As one sheikh used to say, the only thing I ask people to do is perform Salah. Because once the wudu comes right, the Salah comes right, gradually, inshallah, everything will come right thereafter. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times.
How are you, Ali?